Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. If you're visiting, thank you for coming. We trust that you've already experienced the presence of God. We believe that God is alive and active, and he is not a dead God, but he is the one true living God. Amen. And beyond that, our vision is to plant churches all across this world. We've already planted several churches and seen God do some amazing things. He's given a vision to go wide, to reach people all across this world. And the mission that he's called us to do that is by becoming disciples that make disciples of Christ. When we connect to Christ, the body of Christ, grow in a deep relationship with him, and then we partner together and we lead others on that journey. And it's just been exciting seeing what God's doing, and we're glad you're with us here today. We're in the middle of a series called This Is Us, dealing with the crazy real-life issues that we all face. In week one, we talked about the family unit and what it represents and how God, he represents and what he means to the family unit. Last week, we talked about parenting. Mandy and I shared just some practical life experiences that we've learned with some scripture to give you an understanding of what it means to raise kids in the 21st century. Not saying we have it figured out. By all means, we know that we are on that journey too. But just some things that God has shared with us. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject called trauma, because the reality is life is messy. And if you have lived life for any amount of time, at some point or another, you have experienced some form of traumatic experience, whether it's loss of a loved one unexpectedly, whether it's being told someone you love dear to you or even yourself has cancer, whether you're part of an actual accident or something that was tragic that happened. The truth is, all of us face traumatic experiences in our life. And it would be awesome to think that we could live in a world where there would be nothing like that would ever happen. And in truth, when you study God's word, you see that's how he created this world. But sin entered the world, and when he did, negativity, evil, everything came along with it. That experience that we look and hope for is called heaven. But if you live on this earth, Jesus said it like this: in this life, you will face trouble. You will face trials. Knowing that, how do we deal with trauma in our life? How do we handle some of these situations? Because the reality is, whether we like it or not, traumatic experiences have the ability and the power to oftentimes literally ruin our lives if we're not handled properly. And I want to show you today through God's word, first of all, to recognize how trauma comes upon us. Now, we can't control that, but what often comes behind it that paralyzes us in our daily lives. And I want to give you six different steps to overcome traumatic experiences in your life. I'm going to be reading in Hebrews chapter 12, if you'd like to turn there here in just a moment. But the first step, I believe, that's huge in overcoming traumatic experience is to simply do this, is to determine the traumatic events and list them even if need be. Determine the traumatic events in your life. You see, what most of us don't want to live in is a thing called present reality. There are people in here today who have gone through some of the most tragic events that if they were to listen today, it would shock people to even know the pain and suffering you've dealt with. And the reality is, our personalities, the way we are as humans, we often deal with this by saying, I'm good, I'm tough, I'm bad, I'm just going to get past this, and I'm going to move on. But there has to come a point in your life where you say, you know what, that doesn't work anymore. Because if you do not discover present reality, if you do not discover where you are, then you'll never be able to improve in the future. Yesterday, we're playing baseball. I'm coaching with my kid, and it was a little cold. Now, the week before, if you remember, it was like 30 degrees. It was ridiculously cold. But yesterday, it was a little cold, and the wind was blowing. And it was funny because I thought, you know what? I don't need a jacket. I had a long sleeve on, so I walk outside, you know, and I'm walking out there, and I'm walking out there. I'm like, I'm a man. I'm good, right? You know how we are, guys. You know, I don't need no jacket. I'm good. And that wind keeps blowing. I'm like, man, that's cold, you know, but I'm good. I'm good, you know, and the wind keeps cold. It gets a little colder, and I said, this is stupid. What do I have to prove? I walked up there and got my jacket, right? And I come back out there, jacket on. I'm like, no, I don't care what you say about me. I got my jacket. I'm comfortable now. And I laughed because I'm like, man, when I was young, I had another coach said, I see you got your, I put my jacket on too. I was like, yeah, I have nothing to prove. He said, me neither. And we laughed. We joked about it. But, you know, how many times in our lives, spiritually, do we act like we have something to prove? I'm godly. God's with me. The reality is this. God loves you no matter what, but he loves you most when you're what? Humble. And when you're in this traumatic experience, what we want to do is say, it didn't happen. But the truth is, you cannot control life. Traumatic experiences happen to everybody, no matter what you face. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded with such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Okay, so what does that mean? The weights are literally the experience of the struggles that we face in our life and how Satan uses that and attacks us. So we can say, look, I can throw this weight off. I can recognize that I cannot control whether or not it's happened, but I can put it in front of me and say, you know what? I'm going to choose to deal with it. The second area that we can do in overcoming is recognize that Christ can and will set you free. Read on in Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, we do this. This is how we throw off this weight. By keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So when you look at this, what is it talking about? It's saying you're going to face difficult situations. And when you do, think of it like this. So if trauma is a cause. Trauma, you cannot affect what happens. Trauma will happen to everybody. You deal with situations, whether it's a bad response from a doctor, whether it's a traumatic event in your life, whatever it may be, you cannot control that. But how you respond to it, you can control. You can control. Because why? Because that's where the enemy comes in. If you understand in 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. And just as if you've anybody ever watched the Animal Planet, you ever watched National Geographic Channel, you've watched that. You've seen. What does the lion do? They crouch and they wait. What do they always pick out? The weakest animal. And so Satan is doing the exact same thing for you. He's crouching, he's waiting. And as crazy as it sounds, as real as it is, when you are at your weakest moment, that's when he hits you. When trauma hits your life, that's when he attacks you. And when he attacks you, he wants you to believe that your world is crumbling, everything you know is going to fall, and you have no foundation, and everything's over. And if you think back to a moment in your life when you faced one of these events, that's exactly how you felt. The world's over. Everything's done. There's no hope. Because that's how he operates. But the first thing you need to know is, one, yes, they happen. But two is what? God can and will help me through this. God can and will. I will find freedom in Christ. John 8:36 says it like this. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means you have complete, total freedom. God, when God sets you free, you are free. Galatians 5:1 says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened by the yoke of slavery. You see, Jesus' death on the cross, it wasn't just there for the cross. It transcends all generations and transcends to where you are today. He died on the cross not only for your sins, but also for your healing, your restoration, for your freedom. It comes through his sacrifice. And when you look at that, when you begin to grasp that, yes, trials, tribulations come. Yes, traumatic life events, they happen. But listen, you don't have to stay bound by the enemy. You have a choice. You can say, you know what, that was the cause. But the effect is this, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to give this pain, this hurt to Christ. The third step in overcoming traumatic experiences is to take authority in Christ and command the devil to stop attacking you. Now, this is interesting because you have to understand how it's operating. You're just like, bro, you just said that you can't control traumatic experience. You can't. Life happens, but you can control the enemy attacking you. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have to put up with it. Because here's what happens. When something happens, here's how the enemy attacks you. He attacks you with fear. He attacks you with anxiety. He attacks you with suicidal thoughts, depression. All of a sudden, this one experience turns into a huge, massive issue that you're dealing with. Because the enemy's not going to let go. It's just the experience. The experience happened. He's attacking you now. And yet, you have authority in Christ. Oftentimes, as believers, we don't understand this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says this. Look, I have given you authority over all power of the enemy. And you can walk among the snakes and scorpions, crush them. Nothing will injure you. telling you what? Jesus is speaking directly to us. And he's saying, you have authority. I died on the cross for you. You have authority in me. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. What did he do? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He did all these things. This was Jesus. Raised the dead. I mean, he said, you're going to do greater things than I did. And he goes on, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name and I will do it. So the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. What is it telling? It's telling you that, look, you have authority in Christ. I mean, it's crazy, but if you think about it, he's saying, I'm giving you my authority. I'm telling you that you can trust me. You can call it in my name, and the enemy has to stop. Because the reality is what? The enemy is going to come after you time after time after time. When you begin to give up, you get tired and you get weary. You say, man, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. I'll never forget a time. I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I pulled up into our driveway in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We lived there, and my dad was like a lawn freak. His lawn was like the nicest lawn. If you've ever been to Albuquerque, there's not a lot of grass. You know, like it's usually pretty dry, and a lot of people even have rocks for their yards. So my dad had this like pristine green lawn, and I remember as a kid thinking, dude, he'd go out with his, if he saw a dandelion, he'd take his knife, go up there and like dig that thing up. He was going to have the pretty lawn. And the boys in the neighborhood, I was still a little young, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and the boys in the neighborhood loved to play on that lawn because it was, I mean, it's a perfect football field, right? And my mom didn't want them on there, but my dad's a real softy, he's easygoing. He's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And so we pull up in the parking lot, I'm in our driveway with my mom. My mom gets up and she says, boys, get off our yard. And the boys are like, huh. One of the guys says, the big he said that we can play on this yard. And if you know my mama, she looked at him, she said, listen, I'm the big she, and I say, you better get your tail end off this yard. And boom, they took off running. And it was funny because I was like, Mom, she's like, listen, you have to take authority over that. It didn't matter what had been said. She took authority. She was her house. She said, this is my house. This is my rules. You're going to abide. You're going to move. Sometimes in our lives, we've got to be the big he, the big she that says, devil, I've had enough. You've beat me up with this long enough. Get out. And can I tell you something? You have that authority because the big he said you can. The big he gave that to you and said, use that authority. So if you're under attack today, exercise your authority in Luke 10:19 and say, devil, enough is enough. In this family, we're not going to have this problem. In this family, we're not going to be attacked like this because I know what the Word of God says. The fourth step in overcoming this, because the reality is this. You can recognize what they are. You can pray. You can know that Jesus will set you free. You can take authority. But do you think that the enemy is going to stop attacking you? No. He's to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take you out. So the reality is when you stand up, he wants to fight harder. So what do? How do you overcome in that situation? The fourth step is this. You have to ask God for spiritual hedge and protection around you and your family. One of the things my kids will tell you, every night I do this. Every day I drop them off at school, I do this. I pray over them. Here's what I say. Jesus, put your angels around Eli, Gracie, Harrison. Let no harm or accident come to them. In Jesus' name. You know why I do that? Because I know the enemy's out to attack me. And I want to pray that hedge of protection and say, God, protect my family, protect my children. Because you know what? You're going to face life. Things are going to happen. But I believe that we can pray and God will put his angels over us. He will protect us and help us in that time. Psalms 91. It's a great protection prayer. If you don't know where to start, I'm just going to read it real quick. But this is a prayer, a psalm of a prayer that's written telling you a hedge of protection. Psalms 91. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place, my safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strike at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue you. And I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in time of trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life, give them my salvation. Now, if you notice this, you'll look, this is even a reference point Jesus used in Luke 10:19. It's that protection, it's that authority, saying, I'm going to pray a prayer of protection around my family. Listen, Satan wants to destroy you, and the way he's going to attack you is through your family, through your children. Why? Because it hits at the heart. So the reality is, no, you cannot escape the traumatic experiences of life. That's life. But Jesus can and will set you free. He is going to give you that strength. He can help you. Even though right now things get crazy, he can heal you. He's everything that you need. He is that God. Know that in the midst of all of that, that guess what? You can take authority and tell the enemy to stop attacking you. But beyond that, pray that prayer of protection. Listen, no, I'm going to protect my family. Lord, put your angels around us. The fifth step is to put on the armor of God every day. Now, what do you think every day means? Every day. Isn't that just a novel idea? Every day means every day. But that's not how we do it, is it? I mean, let's be real. We often don't. If we physically fed ourselves with food the way that we spiritually do, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Think about that. How many of you like to just skip meals? You know, it's like, I don't think I'm going to eat today. I don't need that. You know what? I think I'm going to skip 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Who needs food and water? Eventually, what's going to happen? Your body is going to say, hey, feed me. I need food. I need water. I need something. I have to have nutrients. But yet, now let me think about this. Spiritually, how often do we go without eating the Word of God? Spiritually, feeding ourselves with the Word of God. How often do we go to the living water and spend time in the presence of God? If we're being transparent and real, I think most of us could say there are several times that we just get a little distracted and we miss out on that. And what we don't realize is we're starving ourselves. But we just recognize in 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan is out to destroy me. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and evil. So we recognize that the enemy is out to attack us. So we have to put on the armor of God. Look at Ephesians 6 as it reads on in verse 10. This is a final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers of this dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Telling us what? You're in a spiritual battle. And if you do not feed yourself with the Word of God, if you do not feed yourself spending time in the presence of God, if you do not put on the armor of God, you are susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. What is the armor of God? What does it do? You ever thought about it? The helmet of salvation. What does that do? That gives me security. It protects my mind. and it knows that I am saved through Christ. I have what? My shoes with the preparation of the gospel. What is it? That carries me. Thy word, have I put, what is it says? Thy word, have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see that? It's the preparation, the gospel that's preparing me. I have what? The shield of faith. The shield of faith, what? When I believe that God can and will do what he says he does, it blocks the attacks of the enemy. The breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate cover? My heart. It protects my heart. Because out of my heart, my mouth's going to speak. But beyond all that, I have a belt. What? The belt of truth. What does your belt do? It holds your pants up. Right? That's nothing. It also creates that security. But then beyond that, I have the sword of the Spirit. What does the sword of the Spirit do? That is what? That is the word of God. That is your weapon. You have the ability to say, you know what, devil? You're messing with the wrong person because I'm prepared. But when's he going to attack you? When you're not prepared. And the sixth step in overcoming traumatic experiences is to find peace in knowing that you are victorious in Christ Jesus. In other words, this, you win, right? You win. Although it may feel like hell on earth, although right now everything around you seems like you're flames and you don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to come through this. The fear, the panic, the worry that the enemy has placed upon you, the hurt, the pain, the depression, all of the attacks that the enemy uses. And you know what? It's easy for us to buy into that. But let me tell you something. You have freedom in Christ. You have freedom in Christ. Romans chapter 8, 31 says, when shall we say in this response to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thank God, for he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you have freedom in Christ. Galatians 5, it is for freedom he set you free. And it is difficult. I know you're sitting there thinking, dude, that sounds good, but you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the fear that I'm facing. You don't know the pain and suffering I'm dealing with. You know what? I'm not sitting in your shoes. You're right. Only you sit in your own shoes. It's only you. But the reality is I've faced things in life too. We see through Scripture, we see through stories that have given us examples of those who've experienced. I mean, look at the life of Job. That man went through everything. And we see examples from that. But the principles that stood with Job, the principles that I face, are the same principles that you're going through. And it's the same concept that's taking place. The enemy wants to destroy you. He wants you to bury that traumatic experience and think that, you know what? Hey, it just let it go. But the reality is if you don't deal with it and recognize it's there, then the enemy has an open door to continue to attack you. Secondly, if you think about this, he wants you to think that there is no hope. But listen, Jesus Christ is victorious. He is there for you, and he can and will set you free. He wants you to think that you're weak and you have no authority, but yet you have authority in Christ, Luke 10:19. He wants you to believe that, you know what, you're susceptible to his attacks always, but you know what? We know that through Psalms 91, we can place a hedge of protection around us. He wants you to believe that you don't have to go into battle prepared. As a matter of fact, he'd prefer you go in weak and tired. But yet we know through Ephesians 6 that you can put on the armor of God and be prepared for the enemy. And he wants you to believe that you will lose. But we know right here from Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that you are victorious in Christ. Amen? When you begin to see things the way God has, you can begin to overcome what the enemy's trying to do in your life. Now, don't misunderstand me, because it's important to note, I'm not saying that, you know, you just take authority and then you forget the pain. You forget the fear. Because the reality is, if it's you, if you're in the middle of that right now, if you're in the middle of a traumatic experience right now, Fear is the number one thing the enemy is going to attack you with. And I don't care who you are, fear is real. Especially when it hits close to home. And you can quote the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. But the reality is inside, it's churning. You know what I'm saying. If you've been there or you're there, you know what I'm saying. But here's what I'm saying to you today. It's not that you won't have those feelings. It's not that you won't be attacked. But the difference is this. No longer will you be paralyzed by that fear. No longer will you have that overwhelming sense of helplessness, that there's no way God can help you. Because you recognize through His Word, I have authority. Through His Word, I have protection. Through His Word, I have victory. And there is freedom in Him. And the reality is this. Maybe you've gone through something in your life years ago, and you deal with it. But if you live life, sometimes things are going to happen, and it's going to bring a memory. Think of it like this. When you're going through a situation, when the traumatic experience happens, the volume's at a 10. I mean, your ears are blaring. Everything around you hurts. You can't even get your mind off of it. Everything you can think of is just 24/7 bothering you. But then as time goes on, you know, and that begins to fade, you kind of forget about it. You push through it, whether you bury it or whether you deal with it. One of the two, you push through it. And then all of a sudden, something will happen, and that volume comes back up to a 10. You know what I'm talking about? What these steps do is they teach you how to turn that volume down and say, devil, I recognize what you're doing. You're trying to attack me. I'm going to turn the volume down because I know my peace, my hope, my strength's in Him alone. Amen? I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that here this morning. I know that some of you are here this morning and you're hurting. You're being real, you know inside, maybe you're in the middle of a traumatic experience right now. Something's happened, and you're struggling. Can I tell you something? You're not alone. There are many here right now that are facing major issues as well. And you're not alone in this. God loves you. And He wants to help you today. Today He's speaking to your heart saying, hey, will you give that to me? Will you turn that over? You say, look, I know this is where I am, but Lord, I'm going to put this in your hands. I'm going to trust you today. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, hey, I want the Lord to help me. Maybe it's something that happened years ago. Maybe it's fresh, it's new. But you're saying, hey, will you pray? Will you help pray the Lord will help me in this situation that I can trust Him? Would you just make eye contact with me? I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Amen. If you're saying, hey, I want freedom. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want the Lord to help you today, to not be fearful. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but before I do, with every head still bowed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we never want to close the service without giving you that chance. And maybe you're here and you've not accepted Him as your Savior. Maybe you accepted Him at one point and it's been a while and you know what? You just walked away. But today you want to put Him first in your life. You want to come to Him and make Him Lord of your life. With no one looking around, I just want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right now. Right where you're sitting. Anybody here saying, hey, I want to make Him Lord of my life today. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Let's pray together. Let's all pray this prayer. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord, then you're saved. The confession comes through you confessing it right now. I'll lead you in a prayer. But the belief comes when you actually make that step and begin to follow him and your actions follow. Well, let's all pray this together, not to single anybody out. And if you had that as your response today, then you know what? Let it be your prayer. And maybe you're pure and you've accepted Christ, then let it just be a reminder of what God's done for you. But let's all pray this together. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.